Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today are Mouse Chatters Bob, Chris, Lauren, and Steve. We've got the whole gang. Welcome, everyone.
Hey.
Hey. Hello.
Hi, Lisa.
The gang's on. I'm so happy. I'm just happy to have everyone.
It doesn't take much.
It doesn't.
The simple things.
Well, yeah, that's okay, though.
It's been a while, so it's good to have everybody back. So.
Yeah, I like this. Steve, yes. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So what time does it feel like?
It's late or early.
You're not even sure.
No. I've been up for a long time.
He's on a different continent still?
Yeah. So I'm back in Atlanta. It's nice to be back from Australia.
What? You're not continent? What?
All right. On today's show, we're going to be talking about the Disney Resistance spouse. And it can be anyone. It doesn't have to be a spouse. But someone that just doesn't share your love of Disney and what you're going to do with that person, how you handle them, how you find a happy medium between your love of Disney and your significant other, spouse, friend, someone who doesn't share your enthusiasm.
Yeah.
So not everyone's on the same level.
Because Lisa and I are pretty much, we both love Disney, so I haven't had that problem.
Yep, and I think Bob and Donna, you're pretty much co-pathetic there.
We are, although it's interesting because she didn't think she would really like Disney. She was much more of a Looney Tunes fan. And
That explains why she married you.
Right. Explains a lot, doesn't it? Yeah.
It's all coming together. I see you as Longhorn, what is that? Foghorn Leghorn.
I say, my son. Maybe that's possibly. I don't know. I mean, I just took her on a trip, and I don't think she had been to Disney in a long time, and she fell in love with it. So I guess I got lucky because I didn't go into the relationship with her having the same enthusiasm for Disney and theme parks that I do.
You know, she didn't fall in love with Disney. She fell in love with Disney with you.
Aw, that's sweet.
And that can make a difference.
So what happened to Rich?
You didn't do something right. I don't know. But we're going to talk about it, and we're going to figure out how you handle it. So let's kick this off. Well, let's start with Rich. What do you do? Rich doesn't like...
And for everybody that doesn't know who Rich is...
Rich would be Lauren's hubby.
Also known as the anti-Disney.
Yes. Yes.
That makes it sound like he would be played by Al Pacino in a movie.
We
need someone with a bald head.
He just very much dislikes Disney.
But he's not even neutral. He dislikes it.
He's so much so he actually wanted to write a book and call it The Mousetrap. He's
losing points.
What doesn't he like about it? Is it the prices? Is it the crowds? Is it the
germs? You know,
I don't even. I just think that he feels like there's other places to go, and I don't agree.
Well, okay. Granted, there are other places to go, but that's not a reason to dislike Disney.
No, and it's not Disney personally. There's certain aspects of Disney he likes, and I think over the last few years, he's warmed a little bit more to Disney, but he still is not like, we just went to Disney and he sat by the pool. He ran his marathon. He sat by the pool. He went to Epcot for 4 hours. The rest of the time, he did not step foot into a park.
Okay. So how do you, what are some of the things you do or how do you deal with it, Lauren?
You know, I used to fight it and then it dawned on me, we're all miserable when I fight it. So I just kind of let him do what he wants to do, and I've kind of changed how I book things. And when he comes with us, which isn't every trip, but the once a year that he goes down with us, usually I will book it. So he'll usually come down a couple days into it. He doesn't come for the whole length of stay. And the days he's there, I'll book restaurants I know he likes. I'll make sure we go to Epcot because that's one of his parks that he actually likes. And he likes that, I think, because of around the world. he likes to go to ESPN Club and watch sports. He likes to lay by the pool. So he does those things. If he feels like coming into the park, he does. If he doesn't, then that's fine too. You know, so we've kind of come to a happy medium with it.
So you have separate vacations, essentially.
Yeah. But he comes and he meets us for dinner. Like when he's there, the nights he's there, I make sure I book dinners where it's easy for him to meet us. So. Okay.
Well, it's tough though.
It is.
But you found a happy medium. Is he okay with doing it like that?
Yeah, he's
or
thrilled.
Does he? Okay, so he enjoys what he's doing. He's not forced into this.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's content going down and just laying by the pool and, you know, meeting up with us here and there. You know, he gets the best of both worlds. We're not vacationing completely without him, but he gets to do Disney his own way. And yeah. I think
I'm getting lonely just thinking about it.
Needs to be. He's fine, though.
Ugh.
Yeah, but I guess the thing I like is that when you go to Disney, or I guess when you go pretty much anywhere, so if I, like, book a hotel in Mexico and go for a week, I've got just the resort and activities that I can do around the area. And at Disney, you can do the same thing. You've got the resort and the activities, and then you've got like a bonus with all the parks and, you know, extracurricular activities that you can do. So it's similar. It's a, you know, it's a 4-star resort that you can stay at just like anywhere else. But added on to that, you also have the parks and you have golf and you've got, you know, special events like food and wine and flower and garden.
Yeah, and
does he like food and wine? I know his schedule doesn't permit for much.
He's never been to food and wine because of the time of year it is.
So for me, it seems like it
offers
more.
But I think
more.
He would like food and wine.
Yeah. It offers more than if I just went to a hotel that was on the beach somewhere.
Yeah.
Because I have everything I could do in Orlando, plus I have the parks, plus I have, you know, it goes on and on with, you know, nighttime shows and Downtown Disney for shopping. And then if I rent a car, I could, you know, I can also do everything in the Orlando area.
Yeah. Yeah, he won't do that, though. He's content just hanging out.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I do with him is I make sure we go with, you know, a lot of people. And then most of the guys will hang out and they'll go swimming and then they'll go to a restaurant.
So that alleviates my loneliness.
Yeah. Like this past trip, his cousin was there. So all the girls went off and the guys went off and then the guys would meet back up with us later. And it's better.
Well, I think, you know, what you and Steve touched on and even Lisa touched on, and I know Chris has written about this too, is playing up to a person's interest if you're traveling with someone who's not necessarily
thrilled
with the idea of Disney. And so if they're a foodie, maybe book some signature restaurants because they'll probably enjoy them and show them that Disney can have, even though it's a theme park, has some really good food. So yeah, I mean, if they like tours and educational stuff, do the behind the scenes tours. And then same thing, incorporating their interest with special events, like if they're into gardening, the Flower and Garden Festival, or if they're a big fan of George Lucas or Star Wars weekends.
Yeah. Like doing a Richard Petty driving experience for a guy, that's got to be something that would be fun.
Yeah.
Not just
a guy. Or if the woman doesn't like it, send her to the spa.
Yeah. There's all kinds of different things.
You know,
yeah,
so
and
there
those
are
both
other
go
options.
Both ways.
It's like people think of they think of theme parks and they don't think about everything else that you can do.
Yeah. And there's also Disney Quest and there's Splitsville now. Like there's a lot of things you can do and not even step foot into the parks.
Well, and the fact that Downtown Disney is there and like you're saying with Splitsville, you know, maybe you're a movie goer. And if you never get the time to go to the movies, go and catch 5 different films or something. Go to the movie once a day. Check it out. I think it could be fun because that's something that we don't typically get to do. And for me, that is it's almost a vacation activity because we don't get to do that.
Yeah. And I understand, you know, you want to go to the national parks or something on a vacation, or you want to go up north and go snow skiing, or you want to go to Hawaii. So there's other trips you can take. But when you go to Disney, just don't think of it as the parks and that we're going to be, you know, standing in line for 7 days in a row from sun up to sundown, and try to incorporate all of the other things that you can do.
But, yeah, and I think slowing it down with him, like not going gung-ho into a park, which I don't feel like I need to do anymore. So I think that helps a little bit because he's even considering going in September.
Yeah.
Which almost knocked me over.
Wow. Yeah, that's how we like to go. We'll take the kids to the park every so often, and then we'll just relax at the pool, go shopping one day, go view the resorts and snack around at the different hotels.
Yeah.
We just take it easy, and it's a lot more fun than getting up and going all day and getting tired and standing in lines.
Yep. Yeah, switch it up a little. I think that's the key with somebody who's not loving.
What about you, Chris? You've got a similar situation.
I wouldn't say it's necessarily similar.
Well, okay, Kevin's not similar. Actually, yeah, that's not really fair. Okay.
Kevin actually likes going to the parks. He just doesn't like going, you know, nonstop. And his biggest issue is, and I'll never make this mistake again, but his biggest issue is that he just won't stay comfortably in a standard room with the kids. When we have three kids, and two of them are boys, and they're typical boys. They're very rambunctious. And so we just need space. So like when we went in early January, he was just miserable because there was nowhere to, you know, check his email at night, and the kids were, you know, their stuff was everywhere. So, you know, I just try to make sure that he's comfortable, that he has a place he wants to stay, that there's enough space. And, you know, also like we usually go out, like every trip, we will usually go out to dinner without the kids one time. Kevin's a wonderful father. There's no question about that. And he's actually gives 100%. He'll take them to the parks and have a good time. But he needs that space at night. So, and he's also not crazy about Disney like I am. I mean, he could go once a year and be extremely happy with that. In fact, that's what he's asked. He said he only wants to go once a year from now on. He doesn't want to go multiple times, which is fine.
Yeah.
He's more outdoorsy. He would really prefer if we go hiking up in Canada or something.
So would Rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then I think you make a good point, Chris, where, and I know you've written about it, where you said, don't get offended that the other person doesn't like Disney as much as you do. And I'm not saying you personally. I'm saying
that's a very good hint. I will be perfectly honest. We had a 5-night trip planned, and he was only coming down for 2 of those nights. I was glad when he left Monday morning. I was like, you know what? You're not happy here. You have too much work back home, and the room is so small and everything, and you're miserable. I'm like, you know, go back. And I had the kids for 3 days, and we had a good time after that. And like I said, he's a great dad. There's no question. It's just, you know, he doesn't want as much Disney as I do. And we had gone in August and in October and in January. And frankly, after October, he was burnt out. He didn't need to go again. So when we were down there, we were supposed to go to Disneyland in April. And I canceled that trip because it's just not, you know, it wouldn't have worked out. And I used the DVC points that I would have used for April. I used those to get a grand villa for July. Plenty of space, everyone would be happy, and you know, so I think you just have to accommodate people, and I don't get offended. I was just like, go. I mean, I see you all the time.
So what Chris is saying is about her grand villa in July is that we're all invited.
Nice. Oh,
yeah. And she's
staying with us.
I'm staying with them.
Wow.
You know what ended up happening? Okay, here's the bad thing. And I don't know that he knows the extent of this, but we have 11 people staying in it now because Lauren and her girls, my girlfriend here in town and her 2 boys, plus my son's friend and then all of our kids. So there's going to be like, I think there are 5 little boys in that villa alone. Wow. I mean, not alone, but so there's going to be, that's like Boy Central. So
he can come in and stay in our room.
Yeah, that would work out really well after, you know, beach club. Sorry, I didn't sleep that night.
Well, if it's almost like a frat party for like it's a frat party for preteens.
Yeah, but you know what? I think it'll be fine, and there's a lot of space. I just, you know, I think that will be, because you know, again, in a place like that, you know, you have your own bedroom, so you have your space and everything.
But you know, that's a very good point. Is make sure everybody's needs are met, that you have enough space to accommodate people comfortably. Just because a room sleeps 5 doesn't mean you should put 5 people in it.
I can't stand that anyway. I mean, it was even hard, like, after Kevin left with just me and the three kids in the room. Like, I was basically, I think it was Michelle. You all know Michelle, of course. She's, for people who don't know, she's one of our agents. And she was IMing me one night. And she's like, "What are you doing up so late?" And I'm like, "I'm working in the bathroom." Because I had to work and I couldn't work out in the main room. So I'm sitting on the floor in the bathroom working.
No, working in the bathroom. Yeah.
Shut up.
but no, I mean, my point was it's great to, one of the ways to get maybe somebody that's not as Disney loving as you interested is to involve them in the planning. Let them pick the resort. Let them maybe choose a place that you're going to eat at.
Can I be perfectly honest about that one?
Sure.
I actually wrote that. Like, I wrote an article for another website, and that was one of the things I put down. Realistically, in our household, I don't think Kevin's ever planned. I'll say, "Where do you want to eat?" "I don't care." Like, okay, Yachtsman.
Wait,
it is.
That's Rich too. He's like, "Whatever."
Yeah, I mean, there's
well,
no
then they
way.
Can't complain.
Well, but yeah, they also don't know what they have to choose from, like you do.
Yeah.
Could I actually digress and talk about, well, it's not digression, I guess, but could I just say, about 5 years ago, we went to Disney World with my sister-in-law, and my sister-in-law does not like Disney. And so she got herself and her son a one-day park ticket, and we stayed at Fort Wilderness Cabins, and she's extremely health conscious. And so she was very like concerned about the food and everything. So I took her to the grocery store. I let her buy all the food she wanted. And you guys kind of know this story because there is that famous pork sandwich story that Bob loves so much in this. But I let her buy all the food. I let her do all the cooking. And it was a perfect vacation. Even though she hated Disney, she loved Fort Wilderness, so it was the perfect resort for her. It had a full kitchen, so she could steam her broccoli, and she could walk around in the woods and look at, you know, lizards and stuff and hang out by the water and just kind of do her thing. And she came to the park one day, and she was incredibly gracious. And I thought, you know, at the time, I thought, this is the way you're supposed to do it with somebody who doesn't really like it. You know, we didn't get offended. We accommodated her needs and she accommodated ours. I thought it worked out really well.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Lauren said too, is you guys can split up during the day and meet together. And it's also easy to do that like on a Disney cruise because people, they think that, you know, there's not going to be anything to do on the cruise or, you know, or they don't want to be with the same person all day. And it's easy to just kind of do your own thing on the cruise and then meet up at certain times.
Well, when it comes to a cruise, I think a lot of people, they say, "Oh my gosh, I can't do 7 days stuck on a ship with all this family." We know, like, if you're having a family reunion or something. Oh my gosh, you have no idea. You're not going to see them.
Right. Yeah.
It's very true, especially on the newer Disney ships. They're so massive. Not to say the Magic and the Wonder are small. They're definitely not. And there's plenty of places to get away. So, and then you're not stuck on a ship either because it docks in ports and you can get off and explore. So I think a Disney cruise is a fantastic option for people traveling with others who all want to do different things.
Yeah.
They have that's a good point.
They have a very diverse like itinerary, and every day you can circle what you want to do, grab breakfast, and then there's just so many different things that everybody can do.
Or do nothing for the person that just wants to go to the pool.
Yeah, let Rich know there's lots of poolside lounge chairs.
and plenty of alcohol.
He can get through.
So, yes, he can manage. The other thing that I think is important about planning a trip to Disney is considering that Disney doesn't have to be just Disney. It's Orlando and
right.
it's a whole city. And I mean, there's lots of other theme parks and things to do. I mean, you've got Universal and Wizarding World of Harry Potter. You've got SeaWorld for the animal lovers, thrill rides again at Islands of Adventure for people really looking for more coasters and things like that. Kennedy Space Center, is an option.
Yeah, and then there's also, I haven't been to Orlando in a long time, but there's also like an Orlando type of food and wine type festival, and then there's different things going on at the art museum downtown, and just different stuff you can do in the city, you know, and then there's also right. the outlet malls and shopping and
Well, I think it's important, too, to recognize that there are certain types of fans who kind of take the fun out of going for sort of like if you're a super Disney fan and, you know, that person with the spreadsheets and all the times and, you know, all the dining reservations and everything. I can see how a normal person might go, wow, you really took the fun out of this, you know. So I think it's important that you also have to, as someone who's going and who may be a huge fan, you maybe have to adjust your way of thinking.
Yeah.
That was sort of off topic on that.
I think that's actually a good point. Maybe lowering your expectations if traveling with a person who's not necessarily as big a fan or not a fan at all.
Well, you have to be flexible. I think, you have to have, instead of having the rigid schedule, you have to be flexible and plan time for them.
And I don't know why people plan, especially with larger groups or extended families. I don't know why people stick to, you know, try really rigid schedules anyway. I think they're a recipe for disaster, much less with someone who really doesn't like Disney that much.
I
don't know. We do it every year and we're somewhat flexible, but for the most part, we kind of stick to a schedule. I mean, we don't schedule every ride in a row, but, you know, we all stay together.
The only thing we schedule is food. And even that.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you all wear
I'm getting a flag, though.
Yeah.
For July,
Well, we schedule, like, I'll pick, okay, extra magic hours are on these days. Here's where we want to eat. And schedule a few dining things, and we know that Monday's Epcot and Wednesday is the Merry Christmas party, and then, you know, we're going to do a pool day on Friday, and we schedule it, but we don't schedule past that because it's hard, I think, if you have a group to be like, okay, we have to be on this ride and now we have to go here, and someone just stopped for a bathroom break or someone just stopped to shop, and now our schedule, it's just too stressful.
That's a very good point. One thing to consider, of course, we're talking about that lower your expectations or be realistic and don't take it personally if they don't become a fan. But you never know whether they will become a fan. If you are realistic with your expectations and take a more relaxed pace and let them do some of the things that they enjoy and cater more to their interests, they may find that Disney is something special and see what you see in it. Because there's probably a lot of people out there who, oh, it's a theme park. You know, I've been to Great Adventure. You know, why do I have to go to Disney? So they don't understand.
But
that's exactly it. You know, and we all know Disney's not your typical theme park. But
there's
to a lot
no
of
magic
outsiders.
At Great Adventure.
Well, and I'm using Great Adventure as an example, but I suppose it could be any type of theme park out there because Disney's different in how they do things. But I think there's a lot of people out there who, well, why do we need to go? And for that matter, why do you keep going? And once you've seen it all, why do you keep going back? So,
'cause you never see it all.
No.
Right. Well, that's just it. So, but if you run a person hardcore with the schedule, like Chris was saying, where you've got everything on spreadsheets and let's run here and let's run there, and now we have to grab fast passes and we're all going to this ride, and they're probably going to just get burned out on it. So,
yeah, it's fun if you, like everyone was saying, if you can plan some events for that particular person. So if they like gardening, go for the Flower and Garden Festival and try to see some of the special presentations, and or if they like wine and food and wine, which pretty much everybody does, go to food and wine and just try to incorporate that in. Or like you were saying, the marathon, so that's another good example of doing something different while you're down there.
Yeah, for people that like running, that's totally a great time to do something different. I mean, run through the parks and participate with thousands of other people who share your interest, and then have the ability to tour the parks later in your stay. Yeah, that's an awesome point. Plus, you could have picked up those shoes this year.
those
great
shoes.
New Balance sneakers.
It's too funny.
Yeah.
I thought you actually had to pre-order them and then go wait in line to get them. It was like super complicated.
I know they were really hot sellers. Disney released these, or New Balance sold these special shoes through Run Disney for the marathon this year. That's what we're talking about. And they were Mickey shoes, Mickey colored basically for the guys, and cool. And Minnie patterned for the women. And they sold out very, very quickly. And I saw a pair of the men's shoes in size 9.5 on eBay, and the person wanted $400 for
them. Gee whiz.
Right. And New Balance makes a great pair of shoes, but I'm sure they didn't cost anywhere close to $400. And truthfully, they were Mouse Chat colors, so I think they should have provided us with courtesy pairs.
You didn't get yours?
I went to Costco and I spray painted some shoes for you, Bob, from Costco.
Well, Costco's prices on their shoes, Steve, are just getting out of control now. What do they want, like $14, $15?
Yeah, they've gone up from $8 to like
$12.
Thank God you stopped wearing those shoes. They were so awful.
My feet feel so much better now.
I bet, right?
No, it's amazing.
Well, not now that I'm not wearing shoes that came out of like a a gumball machine or something.
Are you serious? Do your feet actually feel better now that you're not doing that? Yeah. You weren't not. Gee whiz, that's pretty bad.
Pretty nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think these are all very good points as far as trying to incorporate a spouse or companion or friend into
I think when all else fails, you can always call your resident Mouse Chat attorney, Bob, for legal advice.
Right. When all else fails and you're contemplating divorce, or in a fit of rage, Disney-fueled rage, you assaulted your spouse or significant other, or worse, yes, please call me.
Or call Chris or Lauren, and we can tell you how to ditch them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that
ditch
is
your
the thing.
Spouses.
I don't get it. And you know what? I really don't get, like, the whole, like, because, and actually somebody just posted on Facebook about, I really want to go, but my husband doesn't want to go for 3 years. And I'm like, well, you have two small children that you've been taking care of. I think you deserve a trip. You know, you deserve a mom trip with your girlfriends. I mean, but a lot of people think there's something wrong with that. I don't think there's anything.
I love going to Disney with friends.
Yeah. I mean,
we have some of our best times there with just us.
I know, right? So
I don't think it's they feel it's something wrong.
I think they think that it's just there's something not okay with it. I have gotten that vibe. You know,
well, it could be. I just feel like maybe
I also
for some
think
people,
that people think that it's more for kids and it's not something you can do as an adult thing. And I just think there's so many different things to do and there's so many different ways to get around things.
Exactly.
Well, if you can't find something to keep you happy at Disney, anywhere on property or Orlando in general,
right?
You've got a pretty tough list to fill there.
Yeah. Well, and even the resorts, like each resort has different things that it offers too, that it's perfect. Like for somebody who, like my husband, who would rather stay and enjoy the resort, you know, if I put him in a nice resort, he's happy. You know, he wants a nice place with a nice pool and a nice comfy bed and he's happy.
And where did you stay last time with him?
We stayed at Riverside last time. He liked
Riverside. Lots of swimming pools, swimming holes. Yeah.
And we were by a quiet pool, which he prefers the quiet pools. So he was content.
Okay, I'm going to grab it here and wrap up the show. Thank you to pixievacations.com for sponsoring this podcast. You can download our shows at mousechat.net, and also you can go to iTunes and get them there. Please send your comments and questions to us at comments@mousechat.net. Please join us again here next week on Mouse Chat.